Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to learn how the VA is partnering with academia and meet one of Minnesota's newest Yellow Ribbon companies. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Traditional Guard members drill primarily one weekend a month. That means nearly all of our soldiers and airmen have other careers and other responsibilities outside of their military service. Two of the most prominent responsibilities are family and employment. The Minnesota National Guard recognizes this challenge of balancing responsibilities and provides resources to assist. Our family programs teams work tirelessly to support our military families. They offer military youth programs, transition assistance for members preparing to leave the military, and a connection to other valuable resources. Our employers Support Guard and Reserve Program, known as ESGR, ensures that employers understand exactly what it means to employ a Guard member. The ESGR program also recognizes the standout companies in our community who provide exceptional support to our Guard members, be it at home, at the office, or in uniform. We all do a better job and feel better about it if we've got the right support. Here in Minnesota, we've got the right support.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Our first two guests today are with us to celebrate the 75th anniversary of academic affiliations and VA's mission to improve the health of veterans and the nation. So we're going to be joined by Dr. Ezgi Tiriaki and Dr. April Prunty. Dr. Tiriaki is a practicing neurologist specializing in ALS and the Associate Chief of Staff for Education at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. And Dr. Prunty is a prepared nurse with expertise is in interprofessional education, healthcare simulation, and professional development. She currently serves as chief nurse in education and designated learning office for the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Doctors, both of you, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. Tiriaki, I'd like to start with you. I understand that you started your medical training in Germany.
That is correct. I graduated from medical school in Germany and came here for residency training in Indiana and eventually ended up in Minnesota many winters ago.
Many winters ago. And ma'am, I understand you hold five board certifications. You've been busy.
Yes, so my passion is caring for patients who have ALS, and it's a field where you have to bring a little bit of neurology, some knowledge of internal medicine. You need to know about end of life and palliative care. And so I did actually try to be as well rounded as I could in order to be able to help my patients the best possible way.
And ma'am, I understand your current focus at the VA is to improve educational resources and the trainee experience in the clinical learning development in association with the University of Minnesota and other health professional schools. That must be that's kind of an all-consuming thing. We're going to get that to that in a little bit, but you work closely with Dr. Prunty in that. And Dr. Prunty, I understand. Can you tell us a little bit? You serve as Chief Nurse of Education and Designated Learning Office for the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Can you tell us a little bit about what all that entails?
Yeah, that's a very fancy title that basically says that I get to work with all things education for both staff and patients. So I am very lucky. I have a phenomenal team that I work with, and we get to train both staff and veterans, actually. So we provide resources for veterans who want information about the care that they receive. And then we prepare staff for the positions that they take and continue to serve in at the VA.
Very good. And doctors, I've been provided with a little bit of historical reference from your public affairs officer there at the Minneapolis Veterans Center. And it goes back to World War II, and it says during the immediate post-war era, United States was experiencing a severe shortage of physicians. And this was back part of General Omar Bradley's vision to reform veterans hospitals, and he decided we should locate veterans hospitals near medical schools as a fundamental part of what he wanted to do, to have close relationships with schools and medicine, and an ideal strategy to facilitate recruitment of well-trained physicians. And the result of that, by 1980, was more than 70 VA hospitals were located within 5 miles of a medical school. And this goes on to say that through its academic affiliations, the VA has been home to 3 Nobel Prize winners, and 70% of all U.S. physicians received training at the VA. Seems like General Bradley kind of had a good plan and knew what he was doing. Dr. Teriyaki, can you amplify that a little bit?
Yeah, it was really a brilliant idea. You know, the veterans returning needed the best possible health care, but the country also had a shortage of doctors. So this idea of partnering VAs with universities, medical schools, and having a way of training the best possible doctors to serve the veterans, and at the same time having a pipeline for workforce, not just for the VA, but for the whole nation, was created. It's been an incredibly successful program, and like you said, 70% of all U.S. physicians at some point in their training are at VAs, and so it's mutually beneficial for everybody involved, and a great program.
Doctor, that's a huge number when you think about it, 70%. But Dr. Prunty, I understand that the VA partners with medical schools, universities, and colleges to provide training programs at VA facilities. I would think it's good for both sides. The doctors, as they're just getting started, can come over and they've got plenty of veterans that they can work with and learn their practice. But it's also good from the other side, because what they learn in the VA hospitals they can take and use for the rest of the population.
Yeah, you know, our trainees are very fortunate in that we have substantial providers on the physician side and the nursing side that are wonderful with our trainees at all levels. So our nurses, our residents, our fellows, and they're very, it's an environment that's very supportive and welcoming, and the veterans love working with the students as well. So we have a great partnership, and it provides a really rich learning environment for all of our students.
So, Dr. Teriyaki, can you walk us through that? If I'm going to medical school at the University of Minnesota and I want to become a doctor, do they have time, or is it part of the curriculum where they come out and they practice at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center? How does that all work together to give good balance to those students?
Yeah, we have a fantastic partnership with the University of Minnesota. So medical school is 4 years in duration. And right off the bat, from the first year, we start working with the medical students. So all the medical students that train here in the Twin Cities come to the VA in their first year to learn about the process of care. They then can return when they're in their third year to rotate, be it on surgery, internal medicine, to learn more about a certain specialty of medicine. Often they return in their fourth year, and you might know that about half of the medical students of the University of Minnesota stay in Minnesota, and if they do, a lot of them will also come back to the VA as interns and residents. So many, many opportunities to come work with us, get to know our system, and help us do the best we can for our veterans.
So it's a really good trade-off, both for the university hospital and for our veterans, because our veterans get good care under the eye of senior physicians that are there. But all of these students that are out there to help, that's just like all the volunteers that we have at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. What would you do without all of them, Doctor?
We really heavily rely on everybody. It's a big team effort and just a wonderful thing.
And Dr. Prunty, do you get a chance to work with a lot of those trainees as well?
I do. So in my role, I actually get to work with more of the nursing trainees. So we have several academic affiliates with nursing programs. So we work with pre-licensure nursing students. So those are nurses who are not yet licensed, who are learning to become a nurse. And then post-licensure students who have maybe become a registered nurse but are pursuing additional education to become a nurse practitioner. So we work with both undergraduate and graduate trainees or students on the nursing side who work with our veterans on all levels. So it's pretty rewarding to see how they grow from a nurse to a nurse practitioner and work with the physicians and other providers that we have at the facility.
Doctors, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, Dr. Ezgi Tiriaki and Dr. April Prunty. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Dr. Ezgi Tiriaki and Dr. April Prunty on the 75th anniversary of academic affiliations and the VA's mission to improve the health of veterans and the nation. And Dr. Tiriaki, we established that General Omar Bradley at the end of World War II had a plan to build veterans hospitals near medical schools so that we could develop those relationships. And the report said that by 1980, more than 70 VA hospitals were located within 5 miles of a medical school. And about 70% of all U.S. physicians received training at the VA. That's incredible. General Bradley had a great idea. But Dr. Tiriaki, I want to ask you a question. As I look back over the last 100 years, seems like unfortunately every time we send our troops off to a war, whether it's World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, current wars, we send our doctors with them and our nurses. And every time they come home from one of those conflicts, they've learned something new, and they come back and they bring that to the community for the good of the entire nation. And of course, I think that's part of the advantage of having the University of Minnesota and those teaching colleges work close with the Minneapolis VA. Is that true, or am I mistaken there?
Absolutely. The VAs are really a center of innovation that transforms the entire healthcare delivery system of the country. A lot of new specialties are born in VAs. A lot of new medications or procedures are discovered in VA hospitals. So it's really a very beneficial relationship to be connected to academia, to be connected to university hospitals, and be an engine to make healthcare better for all Americans.
And Dr. Tiriaki, just a follow-up to that, I'm part of what they call as a million veteran program, and that means that I've allowed my medical records to be shared along with many, many other veterans so that they can develop some additional theories that can be shared with the general population. Seems to me that's another way that the veterans just keep giving back.
It's a cutting-edge genetic research study. Again, it's going to really lead to discoveries that we can't even imagine right now. But again, I think the VA is investing in the health of everybody by working together with the veterans, and we're very grateful that veterans are volunteering and participating in those opportunities. It wouldn't be possible without the veterans.
So for our listeners out there, if you get your health care at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, take a few extra minutes and sign up for the Million Veteran Program. Your name doesn't get attached to your medical record, but your medical record gets compiled and shared with others, and you should take the time to do that. Dr. Prunty, same kind of question I want to come to you with nursing. When nurses serve in the military, when nurses are having an opportunity to come back home and serve at the VA, I'm sure they're at the cutting edge of the nursing profession and how you can take better care of their patients as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And just like Dr. Tiriaki said, you know, we're so fortunate at the VA because many of those staff, you know, are innovative and get to see and do things that we just haven't experienced yet. So when they bring those resources back to us, we have the opportunity to learn from them and grow practice here and make sure that we are on the cutting edge and innovative in the care that we provide for our veterans. So we're very fortunate in that aspect. And that's why our academic partnerships are so important, because we can share that information and make sure that we prepare our students in a way that our veterans deserve.
Thank you, ma'am. We're talking with Dr. Ezgi Tiriaki and Dr. April Prunty from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Dr. Tiriaki, can you explain to us the VALUE program that you've been working on?
Yeah, so the VALUE program is, again, the cutting edge in medical education. It's a longitudinal clerkship, which means that a group of third-year students spent almost a full year here with us at the Minneapolis VA. They each get their panel of patients assigned to them. So they really get to know their veterans over that year period. Whenever their veterans come to the emergency room, they get paged to be there upon arrival and help with the care. When their veteran comes to their primary care clinic appointment, that very same medical student is there to help with the care. If somebody needs surgery, their medical students in the value program will scrub in and be part of the surgical team. And so they really have a medical student that knows them so well inside out and is always there whenever there's any episode of care at our facility. So the program has been incredibly successful. The patients just love it. They feel seen and heard, and they look forward to seeing their student. The students love it. They feel they learn a lot, and they really get to see how healthcare functions and how to do the best. And the faculty actually loves it. It's a highlight for them to work with those students and see them grow over that period of a year. And we have even seen not just incredible satisfaction, but even improved care by partnering, again, with the medical school and those students in this way. So I'm very excited about that program.
Well, what an incredible opportunity for them to develop those relationships and follow their veteran through their care cycle. Where else could they get that but at the VA Medical Center? Dr. Prouty, I wanted to ask you, there's a nursing program called the, is it the VANEP program? Can you tell us about that one?
It is, yeah. So the VA Nurse Academic Partnership was a program that started several years back, but the intent was to develop a similar to the VALUE program, a longitudinal cohort-based training program where we had a dedicated set of students. In our case, we have 16 students who for 2 years do all of their clinical training. These are nursing students. They do all of their clinical training at the VA, with the exception of obstetrics and pediatrics, since we don't have pediatrics at the VA. And it allows them to develop a relationship with the veterans, learn the ins and outs of the VA, but the intent of the program is to recruit and retain VA nurses. So these students get firsthand training in the VA system, and we retain several of them within the VA system. So, and many of them go on to serve in different VAs, so not necessarily the Minneapolis VA, but any VA across the country. And our program has been so successful that we're actually increasing the cohort size and expanding VA clinical opportunities to more students.
And Dr. Teriyaki, we just got a few minutes left, but what kind of innovations in education are you seeing or looking forward to on the horizon?
You know, I think a lot of what we will be focusing on going forward is looking at medicine as a team sport. So bringing in more opportunities to train all the different people you meet in the hospital together when they're students, called interprofessional education. I think the VA is also the place where we can really invest in sort of emerging areas such as simulation or innovative ways of managing pain. A lot of, you know, what do we do with information, informatics? So the VA has a central office called the Office of Academic Affiliations, and they really are at the front of putting out requests for proposals and putting funding out to the VAs to innovate and advance those areas that a lot of times private hospital systems don't have the funds to advance. The VA is really leading the way. For instance, one of them is the VA Quality Scholars Program, which prepares people to be leaders in healthcare systems and do the best possible work to reduce errors and improve the care. And Dr. Prunty actually happens to be a former VACS fellow, and so we're very, very happy actually to have recruited her into the Minneapolis VA.
Thank you, Dr. Teriyaki. And Dr. Prunty, one last question. You're very involved in training these nurses out there in all of these programs, but seems like in addition to training, the other part of your title might be recruiting. Fill those positions so that we can take good care of our veterans.
Yeah, so I work very closely with our nurse recruiter and several of our nurse leaders at the facility to look at retention and ways that we can support nursing staff. So nurse turnover and nurse burnout is still a large issue in the nursing profession. So we're constantly looking at ways that we can recruit and retain nursing staff to maintain the profession. So, yeah, lots of leaders working on that, and still a long way to go, but I'm confident we'll get there.
Dr. Teriyaki and Dr. Prunty, thank you very much for all your efforts at the VA and for taking good care of our veterans. And I'd also like to thank both of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
That was Dr. Ezgi Teriyaki and Dr. April Prunty on Minnesota Military Radio talking about the 75th anniversary of academic affiliations and the VA's mission to improve the health of veterans in the nation. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to meet the newest Yellow Ribbon Company here in Minnesota. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk to one of Minnesota's newest Yellow Ribbon companies, the Travelers Company. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
As I reflect on the sacrifices our Vietnam veterans have made for our country, I am reminded that it's never too late to pay tribute and honor to those who have answered our nation's call. We give thanks to a generation of Americans who saw our country through one of the most challenging missions ever faced. Minnesota servicemen and women put their lives on hold or called upon to assemble at our nation's request to serve during the Vietnam War. These individuals served bravely with honor and distinction and heroically laid down their lives to preserve the freedoms that we Americans hold dear. To all of our Vietnam veterans listening, thank you for your service and welcome home.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We're usually joined at this time when we're talking about Yellow Ribbon Companies by Annette Kuiper from the director, who is the director of military outreach for the Department of Military Affairs, State of Minnesota, and we affectionately call her the Yellow Ribbon Lady. But one of her family members has come down with the COVID-19, and she's at home taking care of her husband, and so we're going to forge on without her. And joining us now is Corey Johnson, who's the operations manager and field manager for the Military, Veterans, and Allies Diversity Network for the Travelers Companies, Inc. Corey, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Corey, we're going to talk a little bit about some quality time you spent with Annette Kuiper. But first, I want to ask you about your military career. I understand you were in the Army National Guard.
I was. Thanks, Tom. Yes, I was in the Army National Guard for 14 years. I deployed with the 147th PSB to Afghanistan back in 2007. And after deployment, I spent my time as a military intelligence officer in many different positions at the 347th Regional Support Group, the 34th ID, and also the BSB out of Camp Ripley.
Well, Corey, you're smiling. You must have enjoyed your time in the Minnesota Army National Guard.
It was one of the best experiences I've had. Definitely enjoyed it.
Okay, and can you tell us how and when did you get to the Travelers Companies, Inc.?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually joined Travelers while I was still in the Army National Guard. I was looking as a military intelligence officer. I was looking for a position where I could apply some of those same skills in a civilian job sector. And to be honest, at the time, I probably had never considered a career in insurance. I didn't know if there were transferable skills for my military skills were transferable. But what I found a investigator position at Travelers. And from there, just really liked the insurance industry. I kept moving into different positions at Travelers and to where I am today as an operations manager.
Very good. Now, Corey, were you instrumental in helping the Travelers Companies become a Yellow Ribbon Network for Minnesota?
I'd like to think it was a team effort. I helped bring the Travelers Steering Committee together and really propelled us forward, but it was definitely a team effort at Travelers. I have to say that every single person I brought the Yellow Ribbon program to at Travelers was incredibly supportive. Everybody wanted to join the network, do everything we can to support it, and get all hands on deck to get our designation.
And Corey, I understand that the Travelers has been approved by the state of Minnesota to become a Yellow Ribbon Company. And of course, because of the pandemic, we haven't been able to do those proclamation ceremonies. That means you spent some quality time with Annette Kuiper. What type of commitments did the Travelers Company have to make in order to become Yellow Ribbon?
Well, we did spend some quality time, and I'll tell you, Tom, that was the first time I've heard her referred as the Yellow Ribbon Lady, but I like that. I'll probably have to pick that up next time I talk to her.
Yeah, I'll pay for that, Corey. You know, be nice now.
Yeah. I'd say, you know, we Travelers has always had a long standing commitment to supporting veterans, service members, and their family across the country. We are a national company with a slightly international footprint, too. And we found that the military experience that Travelers brings is just a valuable and versatile set of skills in the insurance industry, which also a lot of veterans don't even consider. Like I said, when I was starting to think about a career outside of the military, when it comes to specific action plans, some of what we were doing is just categorizing everything that we're currently doing. With such a large footprint, we were really trying to get together everything we're currently doing in our action plan, and then really examining those items that we're doing to see how maybe we can even do better to support our military connected employees.
We're speaking with Corey Johnson from the Travelers Companies on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Corey, was the process to become a Yellow Ribbon Network, was that a hard process? Was it difficult to get through, or was it, as you say, more of a factor of here's what we're already doing and here's some other things we can, some more things that we can do?
You know, I wouldn't say it's a difficult process, but it definitely makes you think. It's especially for a lot of organizations out there that already think that they do a fantastic job supporting military-connected employees. Travelers is one of those, like I already spoke about. However, getting categorizing everything you're doing and then challenging yourself again, you know, what's the next type of thing that we can do? Not knowing where you're, not knowing what you don't know is sometimes the hardest part. And I got to say, now that being a Yellow Ribbon company and being connected to that network, we're already getting lots of ideas being part of that community of maybe how we can even better support our military connected employees, which has just been completely valuable to the entire steering committee.
So you're in being part of that network, you're picking up some of the best practices from some of the other Yellow Ribbon companies.
Absolutely. And I'd like to hope in some cases, as soon as we are more fully integrated, we're still probably the newest Yellow Ribbon company. We hope to be able to give back a little bit to that network and share those experiences that we're doing.
Now, Corey, at Travelers, did you know when you started this how many employees of the company were veterans? Was there a method by which they'd self-identify as veterans, or did you have to put that in place?
Yeah, we do have a process to self-identify as a veteran. Since it is a protected class, you know, we do have some human resources around that, but we do have a process to self-identify veterans where they can go and indicate their veteran status if they so choose. But with our Military Veterans Diversity and Allies Network, we also have built this huge countrywide network of not just military-connected employees, but also allies, maybe that don't have a military connection themselves, but are incredibly invested in the military community and want to give back. So we always had our membership numbers there, knowing just exactly what our footprint is in each part of the region of where we can invest time and effort into helping those service members.
So are you able now, Corey, if you find an event or something that you want to support that helps our military and their families, to put that message out to all the veterans at the Travelers Companies and have people step forward and help with those volunteer activities?
Absolutely. And we can respond very quickly and swiftly, too. Being part of the network, as soon as we get those calls for assistance, if it's something that we have the opportunity to support, having that steering committee in place is just incredibly valuable because it allows us to respond really quickly, having a different senior person involved in each aspect of the steering committee.
And Corey, is it safe to say that you've got some senior leadership support for your you call it you're the manager and field manager for the Military Veterans and Allies Diversity Network.
Yes, I am. So my position is as part of that Military Veteran and Allies Diversity Network. I coordinate all of our military connected experiences throughout our field offices. So if there's any events going on, I try to help coordinate those and help with that. But as part of the steering committee, like you mentioned, yes, we do have some senior leadership that is a part of that steering committee. And every single senior leader at Travelers that I approached who wanted to see if they could donate some of their time and their skill set to supporting this effort on the steering committee, was they were all incredibly supportive and they wanted to jump in feet first and really support this initiative. So I'm really grateful for the attention that Travelers and the leadership team has put towards this.
Corey, one of the things we've heard over and over again from the Yellow Ribbon companies is when they get support from the top to the bottom and everyone in between, they can really do some damage. They can really help some veterans and their families with everybody on board.
wholeheartedly agree, and I think we're already starting to see some of that at Travelers.
Very good. I'm excited to see what you can do in the coming months and how it all goes being a Yellow Ribbon company. Corey, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more with Corey Johnson from the Travelers Company, one of the newest Yellow Ribbon companies in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Corey Johnson, who's the Operations Manager and Field Manager for the Military Veterans and Allies Diversity Network for the Travelers Companies, Inc. And Corey, we kind of dove into your background in the Army National Guard and deployed to Afghanistan and kind of jumped in to be in a Yellow Ribbon company. Can you give us just a little 10,000-foot view of the Travelers Companies? Who are they? What do they do?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Tom. Travelers Companies, we are a national property and casualty insurer. We also insure bond, commercial surety, and specialty insurance in many different markets and industries. I like to tell people, especially that are looking, thinking about Travelers as a place of employment, especially veterans recruiting, that Travelers has to, as an insurance company, have to specialize in many, many different areas. And when you think about that from a veteran skill set, you might not think insurance is the place to go, but there's always some sort of skill set, whether it's medical, healthcare, nursing. Travelers is experts in all those fields, and they need those experts. And I just kind of wanted to say that as the newest Yellow Ribbon company, it's just been an honor to be recognized and to really join that established network dedicating to assisting service members, veterans, and military families.
Very good. Thank you, Corey. And that means you spent some quality time with Annette Kuiper, our Yellow Ribbon Company, and you've been approved by the state of Minnesota to become a Yellow Ribbon Company, and I'm sure you can't wait to have that proclamation ceremony. One of the things you do when you go through that process and become proclaimed as a Yellow Ribbon Company is that you make some commitments in recruiting and hiring veterans employees. Can you talk to me about that a little bit? Tell me what you've done there.
Yeah, I'd love to. So when it comes to recruiting military-connected employees, we actually have a team of internal recruiters and employees, many that have previous military experience of their own, who go out and they actually build relationships with national military, local and regional military and veteran-affiliated organizations. This helps Travelers actively recruit transitioning service members and personnel for a variety of roles across the company.
And are you hiring? Are you looking for some good people?
We're always hiring, absolutely. If anyone goes to our website, travelers.com, and clicks careers at the bottom, you'll actually find all of our positions, and you'll actually find some pages dedicated just towards transitioning service members.
Travelers.com, go for careers, check it out. They're hiring, they're looking for some good people. Corey, I want to talk to you also. As a Yellow Ribbon company, you get to participate in some community outreach initiatives. Have you been able to start developing some of those things?
Yes, absolutely, Tom. Thank you for asking. It's been a little bit difficult lately, as everyone probably knows, due to COVID and some restrictions on internal, in-person activities. But Travelers is just incredibly dedicated to our communities to support military families in a number of ways. We have almost a decade-long relationship with American Corporate Partners, and American Corporate Partners, or ACP, if you don't know, is a national nonprofit that helps veterans discover their next career. Travelers employees have helped a number of post 9/11 veterans through mentorships. Also, each year, employees across the country partner with the Toys for Tots Foundation to collect and donate thousands and thousands of toys across the country to military families in need during the holiday season. And also, one program that Travelers participates in that is a little lesser known program, but I found to be very unique, was our Recycled Rides program. That's actually managed by the National Auto Body Council, and that brings together insurers, auto repair shops, and others to donate refurbished vehicles to families without transportation. And since 2007, Travelers has donated 30 vehicles, many to aid veterans who need a reliable means of travel to their school, work, or other type of family events.
And Corey, you've gone through the process to become a Yellow Ribbon company here in Minnesota. What do you think Travelers has gained by going through that process, taking that effort, and telling everybody at the company that we're going to do this? What have you gained in the process of becoming approved to be Yellow Ribbon?
you know, part of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon network, right? We call it a network, but what I found is that it's really more of a community. And by becoming the newest Yellow Ribbon company, I just think we have a much larger access to that community to find ways to support service members, veterans, military, family across Minnesota who are in need of support. And really through this program, we're really able to make a difference in the lives of more military families and also internally to our military connected employees.
And you're going to have an opportunity at the spring and fall events when all of those companies get together to meet veterans and all these other companies in Minnesota that are doing the same thing you are. And as you say, it's a small community, and I think you're going to really enjoy that. Corey, what advice would you give to other organizations that might consider becoming Yellow Ribbon?
My advice would be that if you are on the fence and you're thinking about it, I highly encourage you to start the process and move forward. Creating the action plan is a rigorous process, but every ounce of effort that we sent towards it was really worth it in the end. There are just so many military-connected individuals and families in the region, really even across the country, who are in need of support, and it's a privilege to be part of that community. So if you're thinking about it and you're interested in it, I highly encourage you to start the process.
Good work, Corey, and congratulations on becoming approved to be Yellow Ribbon. At this point, we usually get a final word from Annette Kuiper, but she'll be back with us the next time she brings on a new Yellow Ribbon company, and we wish her and her husband all the best, and I'm sure you do as well. Thanks for joining us today, Corey.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
That was Corey Johnson, the Operations Manager and Field Manager for the Military Veterans and Allies Diversity Network at the Travelers Company, Inc. Joining me now is the senior enlisted leader of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me again, Tom. Appreciate it.
Sergeant Major, as the senior enlisted advisor for the Minnesota National Guard, that means you get to work with the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard. And I understand the Air National Guard had conducted a leadership symposium at Camp Ripley, and you got to go up there and spend some quality time with 100 airmen.
Absolutely. They had an organization out of Maxwell Air Force Base down in Alabama come up and put on what they call the trifecta of leadership seminar. And I wasn't able to attend the entire training, but the first day myself and the Adjutant General were up there to be able to kick it off. And then General Best was up there for the remainder of the 2 days, along with Chief Rukavina and Legbold and Erickson. So they had a great attendance, and it focused on junior NCOs. Was one cohort. Another cohort was senior NCOs, and then the third was, for the trifecta, was company grade officers or O3s, so captains essentially.
Sergeant Major, I think you know that I served in the Air Force in Vietnam and in the 133rd when I got back. Do those 100 airmen understand what a state command sergeant major is? Do they understand that rank?
you know, they just smile. I may have gotten busted a few times saying soldiers as opposed to airmen as well. So they were schooling me.
Well, all they had to know is you had lots of stripes and you were standing there with the boss, the adjutant general. So that works. Sergeant Major, I understand that we've been talking a little bit in the last year about a new Army Combat Fitness Test 3.0. How's that going?
Well, so we're already at 3.0, so that'll give you some indication. we're working it out. And by that, there's part of when they introduced this, they needed the data to kind of tell them if they were on the right track or the wrong track. And the problem was we weren't the Army as a whole wasn't getting the data they needed to make a, real well-informed decision. So they've gotten more data, and now we're at 3.0. So the two big changes, there's still six events, but the big changes that we're going to see, in one event, they've gone to a plank where you could do that for 2 minutes and 9 seconds as a minimum, or you can do a leg tuck. And they've introduced the plank now, and not as a temporary kind of fix, but more of a long-term alternate event that they can do instead of just doing the leg tuck. So soldier will just come up and declare at the beginning of the event whether they're going to do the leg tuck or the plank. And then the second part that we've adjusted, or that the Army is looking to adjust now, and it's still pre-decisional, but it's a gender and age neutral test, but there are physiological differences between men and women. And so there's still going to be a minimum requirement, regardless if you're male or female, to score. But then when we use the outcome of those scores, for boards and promotions and things like that, they are going to break it into tiers between men and women. So men will be judged as men and women will be judged as women. And we'll have categories within that that will then go before our boards for promotion and whatnot. So it's a more fair and equitable way moving forward. But as old guys, there will be no tier for being old. So it'll just be tier for gender, but not for age. So anyway,
making
great progress, and I think it's going to be something we'll see soon.
Sergeant Major, you want to talk a little bit today about, I think you've got about 950 soldiers and airmen currently deployed, and you've got a new deployment coming up. Can you fill us in on who's out there? I think we've got the two of the 135 on the way to come home from the Horn of Africa, don't we?
You know, it's kind of an interesting coincidence. We have a battalion that'll be coming back from the Horn of Africa, which is two of the 135 infantry, and done a fantastic job, you know, been tracking what they've been doing over there. It's just been phenomenal. And they've been in a number of countries throughout Africa. And on the way out, we have Task Force 194, which is a bit more than just a normal battalion, so it's a bit larger than that. And they're currently down at Fort Bliss right now, getting prepared for their deployment to Kuwait as part of Operation Spartan Shield. But with that, they're going to be essentially a couple days down at El Paso, where they'll cross paths. So it'll be pretty cool to have one unit coming in, where we'll have them both down at El Paso for a given time.
And then we've got some MPs down at Gitmo. How are they doing?
You know, they're just continue to be doing fantastic. I think we talked about it last month, but they just were again recognized as one of the best MP companies in the nation, and it's a very prestigious recognition. They were I think it's the second time that a unit's been recognized twice for this award, so it's been great for them.
And then, sir, you've got some, I understand, soldiers and airmen out working on cyber warfare. Is that, are they at the
yeah,
tip
we
of the...
also, they're out at Fort Meade right now, the 177th Cyber Protection Team. And, you know, again, it's a unique thing. They're actually on a deployment, in a Title 10 status, but they're here in the nation. But in the cyber realm, I guess it doesn't necessarily matter where you're at, because, you know, they have to have the ability to reach out and do whatever they need to do from, you know, various locations.
Sergeant Major, a lot of soldiers and airmen coming and going. We're out of time for today. I'd like to thank you for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Absolutely, Tom. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
That was Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Ezzie Teriyaki and Dr. April Prunty from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Corey Johnson from the Travelers Companies, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we get an update on our Minnesota veterans' homes and learn about Operation Safety Net here in the Twin Cities. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.